The theme of Convergence was, where is the love? Where is it? There it is. Okay, where is the love is was the theme. And I'll be honest with you, before Convergence, you know, I was thinking, where is the love? That's an interesting topic for a conference. But yet, having listened to the speakers, it was a very powerful topic. And we, in essence, over the weekend, and I have the benefit now, obviously, of a bit of hindsight. So I just want to sort of give you an overview of what was said there. And we basically looked at five things. And the first one was real religion. Love in the family. I think that's on the next slide. No, that's not. Sorry, love in the family. Streams of justice, love for the nations, and love in our spiritual family. That is the four things. And it was interesting to me when I sat down afterwards how I could almost see the thread going through Convergence in how we should express this love. You know, because as Lola said, God is love. Someone commented afterwards that, you know, it was a conference about love, but not once did anybody read 1 Corinthians 13. Yet the messages were actually quite powerful. And in James 1 verse 19, it says this, and it's quite a long portion, but I'll try and read this quickly. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That is very important, just those few things. For anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. Except Jemuel, he really remembers what he looks like. Sorry, Tafio. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself untainted from the world. And Corne Baker, when he shared this, you know, was such a simple message, but it was so powerful in that if we want to express this love, we need to start with this fact that we need to check our religion. And he said, you know, in our circles today, we are very skeptical of the word religion, yet there it is in scripture. And he clearly defines what real religion looks like. Okay, but I'll get to that now. So the first thing that we need to do in spreading and living in this love that God has placed in our hearts is this: we need to check our religion. What do you believe? You must receive this word. He says there, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Because you see, if you do not receive the word, how can you even start doing it? How can you apply it? What will you do if you don't receive 100 rand from me, you cannot take me to Wimpy. This is company. But you know, you can only spend, if we do talk budget, what you have. And in this case, if we do not receive the gospel, if we do not receive the word, no further action will happen. Then once you have received it, you need to do it. That Nike thing, just do it, right? And sometimes, I think for us as Christians, we receive a lot because in our congregations, we receive a lot of word. You know, you may be sitting in Bible school, you're in different things, yet you're not doing it. And in this portion of scripture, it is very clear what we need to do. And that is not just hear it, but we need to be doers of the word as well. And I think for us, each of us, this is the challenge going forward, is to consistently hear the word, but do the word. Hear the word, but do the word. Scripture is also clear that we're going to stand before him one day and give an account of the things that we've heard, that which we were taught. You see, because there's no accident that you're sitting here this morning. It's because God want to actually speak to you where you're at. Then the next thing in that portion of Scripture, he says that after we become doers of the word, we need to bridle our tongue. That, be slow to speak. What does he say? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. How are you going to take this word? And how do you speak about it? And we need to discern and look and be careful on how we speak and what we say. It is interesting when you are in Christian circles, obviously, there's a lot of opinions, but we all need to consistently come back to what Scripture says. Therefore, we must receive it. And it's interesting, once you've received the word and you actually start doing it, how that word actually gets cemented in your heart, then therefore when you speak about it, it sounds different. Because there's life. You've seen what God has done, and there's a difference about you. And then he ends that portion of Scripture and he says, pure and undefiled religion is this, visiting widows and orphans in their affliction. And then that second part says, stay untainted from the world. Which is very important. You see, because we cannot mix this message that we're receiving, this love we're receiving, we cannot mix that with the world. The two doesn't sit around the same campfire. Light and darkness does not mix. And we need to settle in our hearts the religion that we have, this relationship that we have with God, that's the only thing that we're pursuing. We're not trying to fit things from the world into this gospel that we've received. And unfortunately, a lot of that's going on in the Christian world today. The one problem that I have with the access to media currently is some people simply don't know the word well enough to have discernment to hear when things are off. Therefore, they take that and then they start speaking it as gospel, and it's not. And through that, the enemy is using that to drive a wedge between people in the church. So I want to urge you, when you sit and listen to different speakers, and there's some good ones out there, but there is some dodgy ones out there too. And the fact that he's reading Scripture does not make him true. Because I can do a lot of stuff with Scripture. I can justify some awesome things. Even my new car, which I'm not about to do. So please, be in the Word. Receive the gospel. Receive this Word that God wants to implant in you so that when you sit there and you need to discern what the world is actually wanting to bring in, that you can discern it. And not be the sucker that gets hooked on the wrong stuff. And I think that to us especially is very real for our season that we're in now, that we need to discern. Then the next thing, the love in the family, and this to me was such a powerful session in that, you know, we in this world that we have today and in our Christian walk, you know, we sometimes neglect the family. That this gospel that we receive actually wants to touch our family as well. You know, they're the next generation. My sons will be the next generation, and I'm trusting God will do great and amazing things with the gospel. They will go where we have not gone before. But if the love in this family, in our family, is not real, then we have a problem, Houston. And we need to share. You know, my family, I was the first one that I can figure out, I won't say ever, but that got born again in my family. So my history says I should not be here. But God's plan for my life says yes. And that is what I want to download to them. This love that God has given me. So the first thing that we need to do is identity. We need to move from what I want you to be to who you really are. Sometimes, or let me put it this way, the world spends a lot of time trying to make everyone the same. Have you noticed that? The world spends a lot of money and time trying to get us all to look the same. I remember when we were still in Potchefstroom, our pastor preached a sermon one day of average. It was such a powerful sermon. It's one of those that doesn't want to go away, and it makes me look differently at my house. But he said this. He said this: average is a brown door with a tiled roof and a certain color, cream color. That's average. And do yourself a favor. It is scary how many houses have a brown door or cream and have a tiled roof. A red tiled roof at that stage it was. Yeah. So now at least they've managed to make a few different shades of tiles. And he was bringing this into our walk with Christ, how we actually become average. And we are not pursuing God in our individual calling and identity that God has for us. But we are so taken up to being the same as everybody else. And it's not the truth. And I need to work in the family to a point where my sons are who God has called them to be. And I need to love them enough to make sure that happens. The world wants us all to be the same, but God took a lot of effort, and if you read scripture, to form you in your mother's womb unique. We are not the same. And that should say a lot to us about the identity that God wants to place in us, even spiritually. We are not the same. And you must pursue God. God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you can read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were three different people, completely different people. Yet he was the God of them all. And the same that we sit here, we are different people. Yet we serve the same God. So please, don't try and be like me. Okay? Don't try and be like this one that sits next to you, or even your mom and dad. Be who God has called you to be. Squeezing those we love into the wrong shape for their lives is not love. That is a powerful statement. And it's one thing that I remember when Jemal was born. You know, those that are older among us knows that, you know, you made some mistakes, you've done some stuff, and sometimes we want to live our dreams through our kids. And I made a decision when they were born that I want to pursue only one thing in their lives, and that is who the destiny and call that's gone in their lives. Who did God make them to be? And how can I develop it? The next thing was instruction. From words I want you to hear to actions I want you to watch. You know, as Christians, we can talk a lot, but we need to show a lot too. And even, you know, and obviously this is a lot is true for me in the spiritual family as well, but what's that saying? They catch what you do, not what you say. And we need to, with those that we love in our homes, consistently lead more with our actions than our words. That saying is, what talk is cheap? And we can talk a lot. We are good with that. But we should lead with our actions. From telling someone to showing someone. That is what we need to do. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with a wife wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. So let the wisdom, and you know, Nas and Yolani, in the wisdom that God has given them and what is established in their lives, even lead their children through that as well. Intimacy, what I want to what you need. You know, sometimes I want a lot of stuff, but what do you need? You know, for your sons, your daughters, even those of you that don't have children yet, what do they need? And how can we minister into that? Proverbs 1 verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. We need to listen from a place of consistent intimacy. So I must not just listen. When my son speaks, I must listen. From a place of intimacy, from the fact that he's my son and I'm his father, I must be in that space where I can truly hear. And then speak and minister into that. And not from the place what I want. Investment. Life is when we don't only live for now, but for tomorrow. That leaving an inheritance, Proverbs 13:22, leaving an inheritance for your children's children. In any our consumer-minded lifestyle, we fail to do this on. You know, it's not just leaving an inheritance to your children, but it's for their children too. And I tell you, once you've been, I've got a friend like this who's, I think he's a third generation businessman now. But you know, he does business on a different level as to when I were in business, and I had none of that in my predecessors. I was like, I'm starting my own business. Whoop-de-doo. I'm going to become rich. And then I started the business. And everything except that happened. But you know what? When he starts business, it's like it's instant success. Because he's received an inheritance from his father's father before him, his grandfather, that has come down the generation. So I tell you, that's the most powerful thing that I've seen in terms of this. Is how even just in the physical, even just in running a business, how that happens. And we should stir in our heart that we need to leave an inheritance for our children, both spiritually and physically, but also for their children. And then he made this powerful statement. Don't allow disappointment to become disappointed. You know, it's one thing when something happens and you are, you're disappointed about it. But when that goes over into disappointment, it lingers. It stays there in your heart. That disappointment will ride you like a surfer rides the waves. Continually. Because the moment something looks similar to what you've experienced, you default back to this disappointment. Now, I'm not disappointed with this. I'm not trusting God. And even the word this morning was exactly into this area. You know, in the family, as a parent, you will, or maybe as a son or a daughter, your parents have disappointed you. Don't let that become disappointment. Forgive, release. Trust God to move forward. Don't allow this thing to linger. And then the next thing, the rivers of justice that we spoke about, and I don't want to linger on this one too much because we've just come through a small group series where we've looked a lot at this one. But Ross here just said four things which were so powerful. He says compassion, to stand up for others. You know, in Scripture we read a lot where Scripture says, and Jesus had compassion. And you know, his actions showed that. He ministered to those people differently when he had compassion for them. And the next one is courage. Courage to stand up against evil. What is happening in society currently that is evil? Can we not justify it, but can we recognize it and deal with it and have the courage to do this? You know, whether it's in your community or whether it's your workplace or whatever, are you willing to have courage to stand up? Even for those that are being oppressed, you know, maybe the clean or whatever, that they are really being treated unfairly, are you willing to, in the context of your business, stand up for that person? It takes courage. Because you might get fired. But you know, God is your source. You shouldn't worry. Then confidence. To stand up, trusting in God. To have confidence to do that. To stand up in whatever situation and fully put your trust in God and walking forward. And then cost. To stand up in self-denial. Scripture is clear. If you want to pursue God, you need to count the cost. Because it's going to cost you everything. Then CR Cessation, the Saturday night, I was unfortunately not there, but I got some from feedback in this, and I just heard the session was absolutely amazing. It was a powerful session, and when I thought about CS, I thought of one scripture, and that's Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and the ends of the earth your possessions. And CS was speaking about our love for the nations. He made the statement, when you have nothing to give, you realize that it all belongs to him anyway. The reality is, people, we've got nothing to give except our life. And if you've given your life to Christ, it's not yours in any case. It is. So it is all his anyway. And I tell you, the nations are on Christ's heart like never be. Isaiah 6 verse 1 to 7, it says, and this is where Isaiah had this encounter with God. He says, I'm reading from verse 3. And one called to the other saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook and the voice at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And here he stands in the presence of God. And he realizes that he is unclean. He realizes that he's actually got nothing to bring to the table. He's standing in the presence of Almighty God. You know, I want to tell you that you are sitting, you are standing, you are walking every day in the presence of Almighty God. Allow him to take your life. To use it where you are. But allow him to start using you in the nations. You know, when we go to India next year sometime, are you going to put in leave to go? Are you going to pack your bag and go eat some interesting food? Rolf. It's not any, don't get toch. Rolf said he's going. In any case. You know, what if we go to Prince Albert? Wherever we go on missions, what if we go up in Africa? Are we ready to go love the nations as God loves the nations? We need to be willing to do that. And we shouldn't let our past experiences govern our thoughts here. And we shouldn't make God small when we think of the nations. And the one thing we certainly mustn't do is lose our first love. Because if we love God truly, he loves the nations. You know, I don't know why. It is kind of weird. But I tell you, one thing that my heart is stirring for greatly is the plattelandse dorpies around us. I understand we must go to the nations. But I think one thing that's definitely on the cards for this congregation is the plattelandse dorpies. Because I see all this weird and interesting people moving and deceiving people in these little dorpies. And my heart breaks for that. So I'll send you to the nations, but I'm going to be there. No, I'll go with to the nations as well. And then Heinrich, Sunday morning. What a powerful session that was. Listen, get the DVDs, these sessions you really want to sit through and listen through and hear what God was saying just there. But Heinrich shared such a powerful message from Haggai 1 and 2. I preached about it about a month or so before we went to Convergence. And when he stood up and he said, Haggai, I went, what? This is awesome. But I tell you what he spoke about out of Haggai blessed me so much. It was such a powerful word that morning, and I know many of you were actually there, but in Haggai, just to sum it up shortly, you know, the house of God is in ruins, and God speaks to the people, and he says, you know, you're living in your paneled houses, and you're a smart house, you know, it's like fancy stuff, but my house is in ruins. And God in that moment speaks to his people and says, can you focus where it's important? You know, God has done amazing things in this church plant and over the last year and a half, and it's been a blessing to be part of this. But saints, can I say this? The house of God in general is in ruins. And we need to put our hands together and build the house of God. We need to be at the ready to do this. And not allow the enemy to bring division and break down what God wants to do in his family. In verse 7, he says to them, consider your ways. I think it's a time for us to consider our ways. Where are we going? What are we doing? And in that scripture, he actually speaks to the governor, the high priest, and to the people. He speaks to those who rule. He speaks to the men and women, or the men that stood before God at that time. But he speaks to the people as well. And he says, listen, my house is in ruins. Can we sort that? And when the Spirit of God moved on him, all those guys actually, the governor, the priest, and the people started moving, and they started building the house of God. God declares he is with them, and they all start to build. And we must build together. You know, building what God wants to do here, not just the way we are, but with his church, is up to all of us. Not just the pastor or the admin staff of the church. It's for each one of us that we need to build. And then obviously in chapter 2, he promises the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. You know, going from Convergence, we went into the Pastor Summit this whole last week. We were sitting in the Pastor Summit, and I can tell you this much, that it's not that we're looking or despising what has happened in the past. We just realize that God has done so much in laying a foundation to be built on for this next season. That the glory that God is about to release over us as shofar is going to be absolutely amazing. There is so much that God is stirring prophetically at the moment as part of shofar. It is incredible. Not that it's just about shofar. It is about the church of God. But for us in this part of the family, this part of the body, we are receiving some serious promises, and we know that God is about to do it. And you know, the one thing that I saw in the Pastor Summit was unity. Was it tightness? Yes. Was there some lack of straight up conversations, as always in a pastor summit? Yes. That has to be there. But has God got plans and promises for us to move forward? Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to see what God is going to do over the next while. So I want to invite you to take off your high heels and your work shoes and put on some tackies. But this is going to get fast. We're going to start running with the kingdom like never before. And God's going to expand this, and we're going to see amazing things happening. Right? So where is the love? The love is in receiving and doing and speaking the word. The love is in family. Focus on your family. It is in letting streams of justice flow to those that really need it. It is in reaching the nations, and it is in the spiritual family. It is in the spiritual family. There was a on Monday, Dr. John Andrews made this powerful statement. He said, God cannot change the person you are pretending to be. He can only change who you are. And this statement hit me right between the eyes, because for some of us sitting here, we sit with a heritage of stuff, and you know what? Maybe there was some deception or whatever in there, and you're pretending to be something or someone that you're not. And we need to let go of a few things so that we can allow God to deal with who I am, to change me, truly me. It's funny, in the week preparing for this and thinking about what I want to share, the one thing that came up to me is masks. I couldn't understand how this fits in, but it fits in with a scripture where we've become so used to the mask This pretending of who I am, that we are not the real me anymore. And I want you to trust God to reveal to you the deception that is coming, so that these masks can be removed, so that you can stand before God truly naked. Because that's who He sees, and that's who He wants to change. That's the heart that He wants to touch, not the one you think He should. But you need to be willing and allow Him to do that in your life. You know, are we really prepared to look at this statement and be honest? Will we allow God really to change us this morning and for the season that is ahead of us? So in this next season that we're going in, I want to tell you that, like I said, God has got great and amazing things for us. You know, as a congregation, we said just after the plant, where last year was about more focusing internally, we want to focus more outwardly, and we want to see this love actually spreading like never before. We want to see the presence of God coming, that people will be reconciled with Him. And that's what we're going to trust God for. So we're going to allow God to through this, in every one of those areas, let the love flow through us in each one of those areas. Amen?